Welcome, everyone, to a very unexpected emergency episode of the NBA podcast. It is 1:45 a.m. Central Time. Morton has been awake for 4 minutes, but we are recording and reacting to the fact that Kawhi Leonard is going to the Clippers and Paul George is going to the Clippers, too, which I don't even know what to say right now. So we're going to hit it from the Clippers side, the Lakers side, the Thunder, and the Raptors. Before we get to all that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews, and we're now being hosted on Spreaker. So check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, my very sleepy, stable genius of a co-host, Morton Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
I mean, you know, people are going to listen to this and they think that you're joking by saying I've been up for 4 minutes. I've literally been up for 4 minutes. And the only reason I've been up, Brian, is because it was my wife's birthday.
Oh, no.
And I had a little bit too much soda, so I had to get up to pee. That's why I'm the only reason you and I are talking right now is because I had to get up to pee. Otherwise, I would have been up for at least 2 or 3 other hours. And then, you know, knowing me, I have to look at my phone. For crying out loud, I have to look at my phone.
Yeah. I might have DM'd you frantically a few times.
Yeah, but that was only, you know, a couple minutes before.
Yeah.
Like that, this is faith. My bladder is telling me to make this podcast.
Very clearly. Yeah, I mean, this broke at 2 a.m. Eastern. Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports was the first with it, and then Shams and Woj immediately thereafter. They all reported that Kawhi was going to the Clippers. And then Woj comes out 2 minutes later and says Oklahoma City is trading all-star Paul George to the Clippers for a record-setting collection of draft choices. So
should we just go through Woj's timeline? Because I'm looking at it right now and I'm still like WTF, okay?
Right. So the Clippers are sending 4 unprotected first-round picks, 1 protected first-round pick, 2 pick swaps, along with Danilo Gallinari and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh my god, what a haul.
Yeah. He was not kidding when he said record-setting haul.
I mean, but I mean, again, that's basically, those picks are not just paid for Paul George. Those picks are paid for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. But so I have so many thoughts, and it's very, very early in the morning, so apologies. Does this mean that Kawhi Leonard just went through the weirdest one-season stay of a franchise of all time?
Dwight's Lakers tenure was pretty weird.
But I mean, like, in terms of accomplishments, like, I'm going to the Raptors. I'm going to stay there for 1 year. I'm just going to win the championship and win finals MVP. And then, adios.
Yeah, I know. I feel genuinely bad for the Raptors because you could not have done more than you possibly did with the whole load management plan, you know, gaining his trust to the medical staff, proving that you can win a title. And in the end, it still didn't matter. He really did just want to go back to California. And, you know, I think you can make the argument, as I have, that the Clippers had a better long-term plan in place. Like, the Raptors were very much in a win-now window, where the Clippers, you know, they have a bunch of young to medium-age guys who you could foresee building around. And I also couldn't have imagined them getting Paul George, but that's why Lawrence Frank and Jerry West make more money than I do.
In the end, Kawhi Leonard didn't want to construct a super team with the Lakers. He wanted a co-star across the Staples Center corridor with the Clippers and made it clear to Steve Ballmer and Lawrence Frank, get PG and I'm coming. That's his tweet from Vogue.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. So let's start.
Wow.
Let's start with the Clippers.
Yeah. Okay.
Are they the title favorites?
They have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, arguably two of the best two-way players in the damn league at the most crucial and essential positions in the damn league. I would probably say so, yeah. They have a two-way point guard as well in Patrick Beverley.
Yep.
I mean, They have a somewhat young core even still. I mean, they didn't trade Shamet.
Right.
They still have Jerome Robinson.
Yep.
I mean, you could absolutely get something for them if you want to go older. Do they have any cap space left? Because I'm thinking Bookie.
No, I think maybe they have the room exception. I don't remember.
Well, okay. Either way, yeah. Then maybe Bookie takes a minimum. Oh, sorry, DeMarcus. I'm still yeah, very whatever, sleepy. Whatever. Here's what I love, though. Kawhi signed a 4-year. It mm-hmm. wasn't like a one-on-one, whatever. Like, he signed for the long haul.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they just have an incredible core locked in place because Bev signed a 3-year deal. We talked last episode, Lou Williams, they guaranteed him for 2 more years, or they guaranteed his salary.
Oh, I'm so tired. They have Lou off, obviously. And of course they do.
They have Montrezl Harrell, and I forgot, they have Mo Harkless. They got him in the Jimmy Butler trade.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Clippers are definitely title favorites.
Right?
And you know what? One of your predictions, or not predictions, but one of your ideas came true here. You have been talking for months about the death of the super team, not in terms of like the three-man team, but like the four max guys.
Yep.
You said, let's get two really, really good guys and then a lot of depth.
Yep.
Well, hello, Clippers.
Yeah. And I think they're built for sustainable success now as a result.
Yes, I do too. That's... Wow. Wow. I mean, yeah, I've been up for about 11 minutes now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think.
And I forget where I wrote that. I think it was for the NBA UK site back last year. You could see this plan coming into place. It wasn't necessarily Kawhi and Paul George, but... They very clearly had a path to two max guys even back then, you know, before the whole Kawhi stuff really started picking up steam. It was obvious that this was a potential outcome of this whole thing. Like, they've continued to build well. It's a testament to Lawrence Frank and to Jerry West and to Doc Rivers, who was stripped of, you know, the team president title and handled that well. He just went back to focusing on coaching, and he did one of his better coaching jobs this past year.
Yep.
Now he gets to coach the finals MVP, and a guy who, he finished third place in the MVP race this past year?
Yeah, and he wanted to go back to LA too.
Right? Yeah.
So, I mean, look, the LA boys are back on the same team, and it's not the Lakers.
It's not the Lakers, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It sucks because I had literally just submitted a piece yesterday on the Utah Jazz and how I love their offseason and how I thought until we see where Kawhi goes, if he went back to the Raptors, I think you could have made an argument that the Utah Jazz were among the favorites, if not the favorite in the West. And we can get into that in a future episode because now it's null and void. I think the Clippers are the clear front runners. Like I right now everyone's still freaking out, of course, but I have seen a lot of like, a lot, 8 to 10 teams can go into next year thinking they're the title favorite or they have a chance of winning the title. That might be true. There's no Golden State of the past 3 years front runner, but I feel like the Clippers are very clearly head and shoulders above any other team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. At the same time, I mean, remember how we were talking about a wide open West?
Yeah.
In I get that they're favorites, and I get that they're head or shoulders above everyone else. I still feel as though no team has a stranglehold on the entire conference, though.
Right.
Like, you kind of knew with Durant, Curry, Clay, Draymond all healthy, it was like, okay. You know, there was a significant chance every year. This year was just not that type of year because everyone went down like flies. But even so, I mean, I'm looking forward to the West this year. It's going to be competitive as all hell. It usually is, but in a different way. Because in a playoff setting, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. And I mean, we're not going into this, you know, having a team that is so far beyond everyone else that we're just going, oh, that's an automatic series win.
Yeah.
Like, if the Jazz and Clippers meet in a playoff setting, like, I'm just going to flip a coin, really.
And to your point, that is the one thing that stands out as the weakness for the Clippers right now. They've got a great backcourt. They have the best wing rotation in the league right now. Big man depth is an issue. I love Montrezl Harrell. I think he's a great energy guy. And they have Zubac. He's a restricted free agent. They can re-sign him. But
they should.
Right. And I assume they will. Or maybe, I don't remember if they have the room exception left. It's late. I'm still reeling here. If they do, maybe they bring in Boogie. But the options are somewhat limited at this point. So, front court depth figures to be their biggest weakness throughout the year. Just that's the way it goes, and that's the sacrifice you make if you can bring in Kawhi Leonard or Paul George in one offseason. Well, you don't care.
I mean, that depends. When you say front court, you're talking specifically about center, because Paul George, I imagine, would play the four.
Yeah, I think he has to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right, yes.
And I don't think it matters.
Right, right. No, yes.
Let me just clear that up immediately. I don't think it matters. Right. I'm not going to be sitting there with my very thick glasses on and going, well, I kind of don't like it. I'm at the four. No, that doesn't matter. Correct. Like, those two are... Dude, you know what? This is Jordan and Pippen.
Yeah.
This is going to be, like, Doberman defense.
Yeah.
And a lot of...
With Beverly, God, too.
This is Beverly, too. And Lou Williams off the bench. He's Tony Kukoc.
Yeah. Oh, it's unreal.
My God, when you really think about it.
Yeah.
It is really structured as the Bulls back in the day.
It's probably as good of a comparison as we're going to get. Yeah. Shamit can be the Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And by the way, I mean, let's not forget that the Lakers are not walking away from all this, as major losers, because they got Danny Green, Brian.
Okay, let's go into the Lakers. This is Lakers fans. You probably aren't going to want to listen to this section.
I don't think you are. Just,
We are going to troll a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, so they did get Danny Green, 2 years, $30 million.
And I like Danny Green. Yeah, I was just, I liked it. I just don't like Danny Green more than I like Gilbert.
Right. It is a fine consolation prize in that he is a competent basketball player, and there really aren't that many guys left on the market who are going to be difference makers next year. Danny Green was one of the few who is. He is not Kawhi Leonard. And now there's a question. I mean, for all we know, this will be resolved it will be resolved in the next 12 hours or so, but Bobby Marks went on SportsCenter after this trade got announced, and he said, well, look, they projected to have $32 million because Anthony Davis said he was going to waive his trade bonus, but that was only for Kawhi Leonard. So now we're not sure if he's going to waive the trade kicker still. And if not...
Oh, he's not.
And if...
Like, he's not.
Right. And if not, that drops them down to around $27 million in cap space before the Danny Green signing. So they're probably working with, 12 to 13 million left, somewhere in that range.
Oh, they're gonna get Dwight back, then they're gonna get Iggy when he's bought
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I mean,
and then Avery Bradley, who's always, that's three Memphis Grizzlies. Oh, yeah, by the way, Dwight Howard got traded,
right? Yeah, we're gonna have to do a whole thing about the free agent signings for the past few days or other moves, because there weren't a lot, but yes, Dwight Howard is now a Memphis Grizzly for temporarily at least, or will be soon,
right?
I mean, it's probably going to work out for the Lakers still. It's easy to troll, but they very easily could go in into next season with the starting five of Rondo, Danny Green, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Boogie, with Kuzma coming off the bench. And then, as you said, Iggy, Avery Bradley, KCP is still out there. They'll be fine. It's just, this is not... they have to share a stadium with the NBA favorite.
Mm. This is going to be clutch sports versus everyone else, isn't it? The Lakers.
It might be, yeah. I mean, Draymond Green's a free agent next summer, and he went to clutch.
Oh, boy. So, the only thing I can think of, we're sitting here trying to compare the two LA teams, who now have four absolutely top-tier superstars.
Yep.
And for some reason, the only team I can think of is oh, poor Hornets. Like, who happened? Nothing. Yeah. Like, the contrast is just so sickening. It's amazing.
Oh, here we go. But Ramona Shelburne says the Lakers are expected to bring back KCP on a 2-year, $16 million deal.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, I don't either. But
it's not Kawhi.
But yeah. I mean, no. that wipes out a good chunk of their cap space.
Yeah, they just spent that on Danny and then
on two shooting guards, which is good. They recognize that you need shooting, but
well, and two way play. Let's not forget that. Yeah. Both of them are decent to good defenders. Mm-hmm. I mean, Danny is the better defender of the two, I feel. Mm-hmm. But he's also more inconsistent. Like he just goes off sometimes and then is off for like a week or two.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah. Offensively he's very streaky and
And
I think fell out of favor with Spurs fans at times because of that. But yeah, I mean, like, both of those guys are going to get a ton of open looks next to LeBron. I really do think this thing works out fine for the Lakers. They'll still be better than they were last year. They'll still win 50 or so games if everyone stays healthy. But this really does diminish their margin of error here. Because if LeBron gets hurt or Anthony Davis gets hurt, this team's going down real quick.
I just had a thought here. Mm-hmm. So because the Clippers gave up the haul that they did, right?
Yeah.
We are probably going to have to expect Lakers fans to go, hey, why aren't everyone racking on the Clippers for handing out more picks than we did for Anthony Davis?
Yep.
And I just want to reiterate what I said at the top of the show. This was actually two players that they got for those picks. I get that in the actual trade itself, it's going to be for Paul George, but Kawhi wouldn't have come otherwise. Like this package is for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's for both of them, effectively.
Right.
And I think it's so crucial that we need to remember that.
Oh, for sure. Because, yeah, Woj went on SportsCenter and they asked him, does Kawhi Leonard go to the Clippers if they don't get a second star? And Woj said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is an unprecedented haul, and we'll talk about it for OKC in a minute. But, yes, it's the move you make. You mortgage your future when you can get – it's not like these guys are old. This is not the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett trade for the Nets when they were in their early to mid-30s here. Both of these guys are in their prime still.
Yeah.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard just won Finals MVP. And Paul George is third place in MVP voting this year. Like, these guys are and phenomenal.
Kawhi just turned 28, right?
Yeah, they're both, I want to say they're both under 30.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, yeah. I mean, I believe Kawhi the other day turned 28. And he's a player who isn't reliant on, and he is athletic, but he isn't reliant on it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a guy who can age gracefully well into his early 30s, sure. If not mid-30s.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in his prime for the next 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And Paul George is the same way.
Yeah, like he'll turn 32 at the very end of his contract.
Right. Which not bad.
Right, exactly. You are getting him for the rest of his prime. And then, yeah, Paul George is 29. But again, like,
that's fine. I mean, Steph Curry is 31 and he's still amazing. Right. So, you know, I mean, what type of window are you building yourself? Like, at the very least, a 4 to 5 year window, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the two most hilarious parts of this from the Lakers' perspective in particular is, one, the Lakers thought Paul George for sure was going there last summer. And then he doesn't even give a meeting. He resigns in OKC, and all the Lakers fans turn on him. And then they really talk themselves into Kawhi Leonard is definitely coming here, because they listened to a few grifters on Twitter who very clearly did not have sources, and everyone was saying that. And yet they were like, "Oh, this this random guy who pretends to have sources."
Oh, you mean that 16-year-old kid or whatever?
Right. Like,
God.
Who is deservedly getting destroyed right now on Twitter. As, you know, it might be seen as bullying or whatever, but this is what happens. The bill comes due. If you present yourself as an NBA insider and, you know, starts swinging around with, on July 1st, the Clippers have been eliminated from the Kawhi Leonard race, and then 4 days later, the Clippers are where Leonard and Paul George go. You have this
well,
coming.
At that age, what do you really have to swing around with?
Fair point. No, but this week was a lesson to all of us, really. Woj and Shams and Chris Haynes and Mark Stein and all those guys have been doing this for years. I mean, Shams is young, so not for as long as the other ones, but he's, you know, they've built up relationships in the league. This is very much a business where you're reliant on, you know, pretty much every time they're citing sources, it's just agents or team executives. Like, they just, I don't know why they have to say sources every time. We know who the sources are, but they do actually have sources.
Right, but you and I and a select handful of NBA Twitter knows there are probably, you know, Woj is followed by 3.6 million people. Mm-hmm. Would you be surprised if 2.5 million of those, at the very least, had no clue?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, you know, so there were Lakers fans for the last month have been calling his credibility into question, which is outrageous. Like, well, he's,
I mean,
the biggest.
They're desperate.
I know, but he's the biggest newsbreaker on NBA Twitter. Like, at a certain point. You just because he's giving you news that isn't good for your team doesn't mean it isn't correct. He had been right through the entire season, saying, you know, Kawhi's really leaning over the Clippers, really wants to go back to the Clippers, really, you know, he's torn because the Raptors did so well with him and he grew to like that organization a lot. But Woj has not really danced around this. He's very clearly painted a picture of Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, not really the Lakers. The Lakers got in on us at the very end, but I don't think we just shouldn't be surprised here necessarily about the Kawhi aspect. The Paul George aspect is what really came out of left field.
Yeah. I mean, that just blew my mind. I do believe when we came online here, I said WTF and not in those terms several times. By the way, if I see a single Raptors fan burn a Kawhi jersey, I'm going to freak.
No, Canadians are too nice. Canada. No, Canadians are too nice, man.
That's true.
There's no way. So, you agree, though, regardless, we'll make fun of the Lakers and especially the Twitter grifters, but they'll be fine, right?
Of course. Look, here's the thing. We've been kidding around with the Lakers, and, I mean, that has maybe overshadowed the fact that they got both AD and LeBron within, 12 months?
Yeah.
That's obviously great. I still think they fail upwards because I don't have a single shred of belief in management.
Right.
And to a certain extent, I'm very skeptical about ownership these days as well. Mm-hmm. It seems their organization is rotten within. But hey, if Clutch Sports wants to align themselves with the Lakers and the way that organization is run, you know, I'm not one to say they shouldn't do it. I am concerned about what it means for the future, but, you know, so be it. At least they got a lot of talent. They're going to fill seats. You know, the entire Staples Center is going to fill seats for both teams. That's for damn sure. And if that's what they want, then by all means, go for it. I don't understand entirely what their plan is, because LeBron is going to be 35. Davis is still in his prime. Mm-hmm. I mean, Father Time is still undefeated. At some point, LeBron will decline. If not, then hey, awesome. Then they can keep on running the show, both of them. But I just don't see a scenario where LeBron is this effective going into his 40s, which is absurd to say. But yeah. I'm not sure what they're doing. Maybe they have a follow-up move for a couple of seasons. Like, maybe LeBron is even traded. I don't know. That's fine. They have two great players right now who's going to be great this season. So, yeah, they have something. Let's see what they do with it. Mm-hmm. Because I have to assume if they don't win a title and having give up everything that they did in terms of rookies, you know, young players, draft picks, then it's fail, right? Like, then it's a failed mission.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens with if they can get Anthony Davis to re-sign next summer. You still have,
right? I know, but I'm saying if they don't win, mm-hmm. even so.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
it's a failing, right? Yeah. It has to be. I even want to say the same with the Clippers. I mean, the way that they just handed their entire future to two players. Like,
yeah.
If the Clippers or Lakers like don't win a ring respectively within the next 5 years, good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, I think for both organizations, it's just a risk you have to take. Because, you know, winning a ring is very dependent on luck beyond just assembling talent. Like, a lot of great teams just have weird, fluky things happen and don't win a ring, even though they were talented enough to do so. We might be seeing that with the Houston Rockets. But, yeah, I'm not going to begrudge either organization for taking these risks. And I don't begrudge the Lakers. You know, I think people are probably going to clown them for keeping the cap space open to sign Kawhi and, you know, not going after other free agents earlier. But,
well, that's dumb. Yeah, because obviously you have to keep your cap space open for the best of the best.
Right. Like, even if it was a 2% chance that you could get Kawhi Leonard to join LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that would have been the best big three in NBA history. You have to take that chance.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And here's maybe, some people will look at that as a hot take. Kawhi would have been the best of the three.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, and I don't personally look at it as a hot take, but I know the people listening on this pod as well are very big LeBron fans as well, because I've gotten a lot of feedback about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just not the same player. I mean, that's perfectly okay. But Kawhi in his prime, like, yeah, I'm going to go with Kawhi.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
Bobby Marks says the Lakers cap space is now down to $11.5 million after Danny Green and KCP. And it seems like he's assuming Davis still waives the trade kicker. So they still have a little bit of room to play with, and they have the room mid-level. So we'll see how they round out the rest of their roster, but regardless.
Regardless of what they do, Staples Center is going to win a lot of games this year.
Yes, correct.
Like, that's the big winner. Can we just give the Staples Center alone the big winner here?
They might be the biggest winner. Ticket prices they just went through the roof.
Yeah. Staples Center is going to have 82 games played because both the Lakers and Clippers have home games there.
Mm-hmm.
They could go 70-12. I'm just...
Do the 12 losses all happen for the Lakers?
The vast majority of them, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Don't worry. I wasn't thinking an even split whatsoever. Good. No.
So let's go to the OKC side of things now.
Yes. I'm still wrapping my head around to just the haul that they had.
So,
I mean,
Mark Stein has the details. They got three unprotected first round picks from the Clippers, 2022, 2024, and 2026. Plus, two firsts from Miami, the 2021 pick that Philly gave up for Tobias Harris, and then the 2023 pick, lottery protected. I believe that's the one they got from Miami in the Jimmy Butler sign and trade, along with Mo Harkless.
All right, that's five.
And the right to swap picks with the Clippers in 2023 and 2025.
That's seven.
Plus Gilgeous Alexander and Danilo Gallinari. I know it's probably pretty painful for the Thunder right now, just because I don't think 2 days ago, if I was writing an article of like which guys are on the trade market now, Paul George would not have appeared on there. I would have never assumed that he was available, but that kind of haul for Paul George, and Gilgeous Alexander is really good. He's not like a throw in here.
No, like, if Thunder fans are listening in, you got a freaking steal in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
Alexander.
I looked him up earlier. You know, like, 538 has that Carmelo projections with, like, the five-year market value, and I was messing around because I was doing something with Ben Simmons' extension, but I looked him up. His five-year market value is $167.7 million.
Yep.
They are super high on this kid.
That's because he's long-armed. He, while a reluctant shooter, he can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great defender. He's got great size. He'll be an asset on the boards. Like, he's going to be one of those all-around point guards.
Mm-hmm.
Much like, but not in the same vein, as Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
Who should totally be on the market right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, but I mean, there's just no point in the Thunder just keeping Westbrook. Westbrook is going to go off this year if he stays in OKC.
Oh yeah,
like and not in a great way. Like we've seen Russ going off, and it can't be super fun, but it's not going to lead to wins, and it's not going to lead to, you know, rookies getting better. It's just like a Russell Westbrook ego show for 82 games, mm-hmm. which like I'm not there for it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, for the Thunder. If you know, now there's some reporting coming out, especially from Shams, kind of alluding to some tension between Russ and Paul George, and then
oh, seriously?
Mm-hmm. And apparently, wow. I mean, I guess George or Leonard. So this is from Woj. Kawhi Leonard had been recruiting Paul George to find a way to get to the Clippers. After Leonard pushed George to find a way to get to the Clippers, George approached OKC and requested a trade. OKC was left with no choice and made the best out of a difficult situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what can happen for a team when they actually keep their informations and situation near the chest.
Yeah.
Because had it come out that Westbrook and Paul George had issues,
yep.
I don't think they would have gotten this haul.
No. Absolutely not. No, I mean, look at what happened with the Rockets when all these stories leak and all of a sudden it's open knowledge that Clint Capella's on the market and then Chris Paul wants out and all of a sudden yeah. Daryl Morey's kind of stuck. No, I think...
Oh my God. I'm sorry, but here's... You just mentioned Clint Capella who plays for the Rockets, uh-oh. Right?
Does he not play for the Rockets anymore?
No.
Okay.
I was just thinking if Russ's on the market...
Oh.
And Chris Paul certainly is on the market.
Ew. Oh, reunite Russ and Harden?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't tell me that this idea is not currently flowing through the mind of Daryl Morey.
It's probably true. Yeah, you're honest. I bet you're right. Huh.
It's a shorter deal for
Chris Paul. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure the Rockets would have to give up multiple picks. Maybe OKC.
Maybe not.
Oh no, to get probably.
Maybe it's a straight up one for one.
Oh no, OKC would not do that. I don't think. I think
to save money long term.
No, I don't think so. Would they? I don't know, because it's only one more year, right?
Look, man, we have no idea about trade values anymore in this league. Look at what happens.
That's true.
I mean, I'm just saying, I think everything's in play right now.
Yeah, I mean...
This is silly season with a heavy emphasis on silly.
I think, if nothing else, this trade probably suggests that Russell Westbrook is more gettable than he has been possibly ever.
Yeah. Which is not a great selling point on Russ,
right.
But yeah.
Right, no, I mean, it just, oh, there you go. JaVale McGee is returning to the Lakers as well, where he'll likely start at center. 2-year, $8.2 million deal with a player option.
Oh, man. NBA centers are just getting trashed this summer. Jesus.
Oh, man. So it's going to be... Green, LeBron, Brow, McGee, and probably Rondo. Oh my god.
Hey, why not? Let's bring back the weirdos, okay? Just bring them all back.
LeBron signed up for this, man. LeBron signed up for this.
I guess he did. And he signed up for at least 3 years of it, so.
What an idiot. Alright, let's go back to OKC. So yeah, Russ, I think it's fair to say he's on the market. I would hope, but I mean, it wouldn't shock me if OKC at least goes into the season feigning competitiveness, because Danilo's good, yeah. And Gilgeous-Alexander's really good. I mean, like, in theory, the future is Gilgeous-Alexander taking over for Russ as your long-term point guard.
Right.
But you could probably play those two guys next to each other, at least at first, and, you know, they still got
Steven. Then you have to ship Schroeder.
Yeah. You still have Steven Adams. You have pieces there to be competitive at least next year, and then maybe that makes Russ a little more attractive. Hopefully.
I mean, you know where I stand on Russ. I know. I don't think so. I think people are looking at a guy who is, what, 31? 30? 31?
Yeah.
and who has relied on athleticism to a gross extent for the vast majority of his career.
Yeah. Oof.
That's why I said, you know, that could be a one-for-one swap. I think the league knows. The secret is out. Like, he's not going to be, at any point, a high-intelligent NBA player.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I just think he's very much set in his ways, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know what you're going to get out of him.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't, I mean, the Houston thing actually makes a lot of sense, but I was thinking the complete opposite direction, like a team like the Knicks or the Suns or the Hornets or something, just, you know, desperate to make some big splash.
Yeah.
Go for him, even though he wouldn't be at all aligned with your developmental timeline. And
yeah, the Knicks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It seems like a very Knicks thing to do.
It really does. By the way, so how many of these, what was it, seven picks? Or, well, five picks they attained and then two swaps.
Mm-hmm.
So five picks they attained. How many of those guys are going to be absolutely ruined by the Oklahoma City media team?
Well, maybe they'll change. I mean, the first one that conveys is 2021. We've got 2 years.
Yeah.
So they've got time to change things up. Man.
And for those who are unaware, so, you know, in NBA circles, the Thunder have a tendency to drastically protect their players in a way that is not exactly beneficial to the player itself.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Man. Poor Thunder. I mean, look, this is a terrible night for you guys, but really, I just can't stress enough, like, getting that much, you got more for Paul George than the Lakers or than the Pelicans did for Anthony Davis.
How is this a bad night? I'm looking at it all. I'm going, my future is set.
I know.
I'm going to be relevant for like 11 years.
Yeah, but
if I draft right,
I think it's just a very clear short-term setback, in the sense that you could, especially right. with the Warriors fading to black, or at least temporarily. You could have, if you're a Thunder fan, maybe you go into next season thinking, all right, sure. Why not us? Why can't we be one of those, you know, if Paul George doesn't hurt his shoulder this year.
Because you have Russell Westbrook.
I know, but if Paul George doesn't hurt his shoulder this year, then maybe Russ doesn't go back into I'm going to do it all mode. Because he did defer a little bit more in the first half mm-hmm. of this season.
Yeah. And then he went right back.
Right, yeah. But so, you know, Paul George says his shoulders are both healthy now.
Yeah.
It,
which is good, because then he'll play with Kawhi, a smart basketball player. Right,
I know. Yeah, the Russ slander is going to be... I think if we're going to, like, power rank the slander that's going to go on as a result of this move, it's one, the Lakers grifters on Twitter. Two, the Lakers in general. And then three, Russ is definitely catching a lot of heat here.
Oh yeah, for sure, and not for you know for this trade or anything, but for being on the outs with George, and then the follow up result of that, him just going to be a one man show.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the amount of Russell Westbrook couldn't keep his small forward once again jokes that Twitter's going to produce?
It's already flying around, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
there's no doubt, but. I do think, I Danilo Gallinari is no Paul George, obviously. But if he stays healthy, he just had probably his best season of his career, right?
Yeah, at least similar to his prime years before he really got hit by the injury bug.
Right, yeah. I mean, he's a great shooter.
Yeah.
He's not going to be, he can't create for himself to the extent that Paul George can, but you know, you're basically swapping out one superstar for two good starter caliber players. And maybe
yeah, with one of them having the potential to be much more.
Right, right, right. Yeah, exactly. So like hopefully your point guard of the future, but you know, just looking at next year, you add in an extra starter here, and for a Thunder team that really didn't have much in the way of dependable depth this past year.
Mm-hmm.
That might you know, I it wouldn't shock me if the Thunder is still a pretty good team this year.
No, for sure. I mean, I could totally see that happening.
Yeah. Wow.
But I'm still going to say that there's a significant cap of their success.
Oh, yeah.
Also, have we thought about something? Like, even if the Thunder, who drafted three straight MVPs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if they hit on all those draft picks,
mm-hmm.
they're just going to let them walk.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah. Well.
That's like a big concern. Maybe time has, you know, proven that, oh, this is not ideal. Let's not trade James Harden because we're interested in saving money.
Right.
So if they, now they have a treasure trove of draft picks. Now it's on Sam Presti to put so much pressure on ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we call it. It's not called ownership in the NBA anymore, but I don't remember what we called it.
Yeah.
Governors.
Know. Team governors.
Governors. Yeah. Okay. To put so much pressure on the team's governors to not go financial on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, if you get a couple superstars off of these picks, and Sam Presti's a good drafter, by the way. Like, yeah. Let's acknowledge that right
clearly.
Off the bat.
Clearly. He's got three MVPs in a row.
Exactly. And Serge Ibaka, I think,
yeah.
24.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yep.
It's about keeping them. It's about developing them and also, like, you know, getting your cake and eating it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got James Harden. They just never were able to keep him during his prime years, partly because they didn't really play him in the right role.
Right.
But they knew what they had because they got a haul for him back then.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep your picks, man. Keep your players. Don't let them walk because of money. Like, if you need to consolidate and become excellent.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I mean, that's the other option, is now they have, at least picks-wise, the biggest haul in the NBA. In terms right. of, you know, when there is a disgruntled star in 2022, who is at the front of the line is the Oklahoma mm-hmm. City Thunder. Because they have, you know, by that point, maybe this thing doesn't work for the Clippers. I mean, at least by the end of it, you know, they've got the picks through 2026.
Yeah.
You have to figure, I mean, maybe the Clippers stay that good for that long, but we just haven't seen any team, even the Warriors, you know, just had a five-year window, and now they're going to have at least a slight step back. So the Thunder have really given themselves, you know, some long-term window here, a long-term runway where we've got Gilgeous Alexander, who's still on his rookie contract for three more years, and now we have basically every draft pick from the Los Angeles Clippers, you know, for the next half decade or more.
Yeah, half decade at least.
Yeah.
And here's, to me, right, there's only one guy on the current Thunder roster that you should really keep in this rebuild or when the picks are starting to come in. That's Gilgeous Alexander.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, everyone else. I think the other good thing for the Thunder before we move on is the first pick from the Clippers, if I'm not mistaken, is 2022, which is the double draft, or is expected to be the double draft. But they did not take 2020 or 2021 picks from them, which is when conceivably you can at least say, you know, the Clippers are probably going to have mid to late 20s picks both of those years.
Mm-hmm.
It was smart of them to stagger them. Push them further out,
of course.
Or, you know, there's just a higher degree of uncertainty as to who knows. It could be Boston, Brooklyn part two. Just, you know, it's going to work out better for the Clippers than it did for the Nets.
Yeah. That has always been one of those things that you and I have talked about, like in terms of how draft picks are conveyed.
Yeah.
I would always prefer much later picks if you know that the guy you're trading is of substantial quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course they're going to be good in the first couple of years.
Yeah.
But 4, 5, 6 years down the line, you have no idea because this league is crazy. I mean, Kevin Durant just stayed with the Warriors for 3 years. Kawhi Leonard stayed with the Raptors for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jimmy Butler's on his fourth team in four years.
Yeah.
And so basically, I mean, again, coin flip.
Yeah.
Is who sticks around.
Right.
You have no idea. LeBron could play 3 years with the Lakers and then leave.
For all we know, Anthony Davis could play 1 year with the Lakers and leave.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
So again, getting draft picks for later out is just smart, man. Yeah. It's just smart.
Yeah, for sure. You just want to bake that uncertainty in there because you cannot reasonably project how a team will look 4 or 5 years down the line. But
Kyrie Irving was with Boston for 2 years.
Right. Right. And the Celtics a year ago looked like they were going to run the East for the next decade.
Exactly. This is, this league, man.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
This league, hashtag this league, this night gets it. Let's finish up with the Raptors, who, first of all, I want to express our condolences to you guys, but at the same time, you just won the title. So, I understand being bummed that you won't get a chance to run this thing back and defend the chip, but this thing's all gravy, man. With DeRozan and Lowry, it was just never going to happen. It was, I think no matter what happens here, this was worth it. This was worth the gamble for Masai Ujiri, even though Kawhi left and they're going to get nothing in return for him. It's still a move you make 100 times out of 100.
Of course it is. They got a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this, it sucks because obviously you want to repeat and that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, like you said, this is the best possible outcome they had.
Mm-hmm.
Best possible outcome, mm-hmm. At least in terms of the championship, the 1 year. Now they can do what we talked about not well over a year ago, 11 months ago-ish. Now they can rebuild.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they still have, you know, Gasol opted in. Conley still has a lot of money on that. But it's one-year deals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine. Maybe you can even find a taker for them in, like, on the trade deadline.
Right.
Something. Maybe you can shop them now, theoretically, and see what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, they're going to be, they're going to be flush with cash next year. They're going to have Pascal Siakam,
yep,
at the very least, yep, and still some depth. Like OG Anunoby, I'm expecting a pretty big year out of him because there is no Kawhi Leonard now.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet is awesome. We all know that. He's probably going to take over the starting point guard spot.
Yep.
And I wrote an article for Forbes like a couple months back basically saying, hey, look, if Kawhi Leonard leaves, at least you have Pascal Siakam, who is so ready for this scene. I mean, they have something. I can't imagine free agent interest not to be there if that's the route they're going to go next year. I can't imagine that not being the case.
The problem is the free agent class sucks next year.
Well, here's the thing. So far it does.
Yeah.
We don't know what's happened. We really don't know. Random players can opt out or whatever. Like, there's... Mm-hmm. This, again, hashtag this league.
Yeah.
Like, every single time we say something about, you know, hey, this draft is going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Zion Williamson ended up having the best, you know, college freshman season of all time.
Right.
Like, things happen all the time in this league. Like, we can't sit here and predict anything 12 months away anymore,
mm-hmm,
because it's fluid. It's all fluid. I have no idea. Maybe it's a disgruntled star who's willing to be absorbed into cap space, or right, a team's willing to just have him absorbed into cap space. There are so many opportunities now. My point is this. The Raptors can go a couple different routes. They could go full rebuild with Pascal Siakam in as the centerpiece moving forward. Mm-hmm. The thing is, he's already 25, so you don't necessarily want to make a rebuild that's last half a decade, because then he's 30 and then it's not going to make sense.
Right.
So maybe it's a retooling process they want to go into.
Mm-hmm.
They have the money to do that. They can take on bad deals for maybe a year if they want to, and additional draft picks, and see what comes up. Like, they have options to do something, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, huge blow for the Raptors. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is Kawhi Leonard, arguably the best player in the league right now. I still lean Giannis, but Kawhi is right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not going to be easy to get over. But just, you know, love the fact that he was there. Love the fact that he brought you a chip.
Yep.
Like, keep enjoying the summer and, you know, drinking your brains out.
Right. Right, exactly. What do you do if you're Masai, though?
In terms of staying?
Well, no. Do you start shopping Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol?
Oh, I've already been on the phone for, like, 50 minutes now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because, again, all those guys are on one-year deals. It's they just don't
fit. Church, too, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. No, right. I mean, the only guy who should be safe is Pascal.
Yeah, yeah. And some of the young guys,
yeah,
potentially.
Yeah.
Because they're still cheap for a while yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Man. Who is the favorite in the East now? Because Toronto's out.
Toronto's out. Boston's out. And honestly, Brooklyn is out because KD's not going to play this year.
Right.
And even if he is, he's not going to be the same player at least this year.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest.
I just don't think he's going to play this year.
Yeah. And if that's the case, it's like, it's a good team, but it's not great. I'm not going to put them at the top of it. It's the Bucks and Sixers.
Which one do you pick?
Bucks. Sorry.
Oh, I was so close to getting you to say the right answer.
No. I mean, look. I know that I get it. They lost Malcolm Brogdon. You guys gained Al Horford. Well, okay, you did lose Jimmy as well. Right. And Redick.
Yeah.
I just question your shooting.
No, that's fair.
And
that's
also, fair. I kind of think the Bucks are, and especially Giannis, they're one of those teams that just find a way.
Yeah.
I love them adding Wes Matthews. Like, we talked about it. Rather have Wes Matthews at the minimum than Brogdon for $85 million.
Yep.
So.
I'm mostly trolling here, but. Because there's much less uncertainty, I would say, with the Bucks than there is with the Sixers. Like,
right. They don't start Al Horford a power forward.
Well, you've just seen the core of them together already. You've seen Bledsoe, Middleton, Giannis, Brooke Lopez. You know what that looks like on the court. We have no freaking clue what the Sixers are going to look like. It's hard to conceptualize, honestly, because it runs so against the grain. And you know what would be really interesting is a Clippers-Sixers finals, just because it would be such a study in contrasting styles.
That could be interesting. I'll give you that. That could be very interesting because you'd have a team that is four stars in versus a team that is two top-tier superstars and then depth.
Right. And a team that's much... The Clippers are much heavier on wings and guards. The Sixers are going to start no one below...
Size.
Yeah, 6'6". Yeah. You know, does Pat Bev get played off the floor there? Or does Al Horford get played off the floor?
I'm kind of leaning Al, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair because where do you hide him? You're gonna need two guys to cover Leonard and George.
Yep.
Simmons is gonna get one of them.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And you just can't. I mean, you can't hide Al anywhere else.
Because, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you want Tobias on the other one. I don't know that you want Josh Richardson. Maybe, but I think you probably stick him on Bev, and then Horford's probably guarding one of those guys, which would be
he'll have to
which he can guard a Giannis type pretty well because he's a smart, savvy defender, and he gets his body in between Giannis and the basket,
right? And because Giannis is essentially a center,
right? But a Paul George or a Kawhi is just going to pull up over him. Oh man, it's gonna be this season's gonna be so much fun. It is. I think that's the moral of this story is that this was the best possible outcome. Just because if he went to the Lakers, man, it just would have been rewarding incompetence, and that's terrible. Like I love that this summer has the Nets and the Clippers getting the guys that the Knicks and the Lakers wanted and thought they were getting, because the Nets and the Clippers are just better run organizations right now, and they deserve to be rewarded for being better run organizations.
Agreed. I mean, look, let's just call it what it is, and I know the Lakers fans or Knicks fans are going to be upset at that, but the thing is, you just, when you have two franchises who believe that their primary pitch is we're the Lakers / we're the Knicks.
Right.
That's not good enough. This is a time to reflect. Like, yeah, and I get that the Lakers are looking at themselves, well, we got LeBron James and Anthony Davis within one calendar year.
Yeah.
That's fine. But you also gave up virtually everything to do so.
Right.
Part of this is understanding who you are as a team. Fine. The Lakers are kind of owning up to their own brand. Mm-hmm. You know, superstars above all Hollywood. All right. That's cool. It's just not going to win you any rings, I think. Not anymore, because that's not the way the league is run. And then you have the Knicks, who are just like, hey, we were great in the 70s, and somehow we still believe that we're, you know, a free agent destination.
Right.
Just shut up.
Right.
That's. I mean, the Knicks are off. I mean, they're just way more awful than the Lakers in that regard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just horrible. I mean, they canceled a damn meeting with Kawhi.
I mean, honestly, good for them. They knew it wasn't going to happen.
I guess, but I mean, yeah. I don't know. I just, their entire way of doing things is just so weird and so off, and it's time to reflect for both teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to look at the team alongside them, you know, the Clippers and Nets, and just go, what exactly did you guys do? Oh, you were competent. That's interesting. How do you spell that? Let's get this down on paper.
Right.
Competence.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it really does speak to I think it speaks to the importance of having a good, just organizational vision, top down, mm-hmm. owner, front office, coach, players, supporting cast, you know, the Clippers. And then that's,
I hate this word, but synergy.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, if you look at those rosters right now, if you look at, I mean, the Knicks just are in their own world of crappy. But if you compare the Knicks to the Nets, who has the more appealing supporting cast? If you're a superstar, obviously it's the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have formed an incredible big three with the Lakers, and you could have been, you know, Kyle Kuzma's your number four. Then you have the room mid-level exception and 10 minimum guys. And for Kawhi Leonard, who just missed 22 games during the regular season because he needed to get load managed and said, I would not have made it to the finals if I didn't go about that plan, going to a super top-heavy team probably wasn't that appealing to him.
Yeah.
Going to...
And now you have Paul George instead, who can see. Yeah.
Right, going to a team that won 48 games, that has a great supporting cast already, has two of the three finalists for Sixth Man of the Year, has Paul George for the games where you sit out. He can just take over, score 30 points a game. That's a pretty good pitch. You could still go to the Clippers, you know. And for a guy like Kawhi, who is famously reticent to do media and all that stuff, the Clippers are very much still the little brother to the Lakers, or at least they were before tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now that probably changes, but, you know, I think there's still just a much more vocal, active fan base for the Lakers than there are for the Clippers. And I think there'll just, it wouldn't shock me if Kawhi and Paul George and the Clippers go out and win 60 games next year and they just go about it and do it in a very somewhat clandestine fashion.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's who both of those guys are.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't just overstate the fact that Kawhi finally got someone alongside him who, to some extent, resembles, you know, a Spurs superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand that Paul George can be expressive here and there, but he's not someone who'll go out in the media and do a lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
that is negative. Or damaging to a team. Like, he's pretty keen on, let me just work.
Right.
Let me just produce.
Right.
I my focus is on the court. Like, he's way more business approached than a lot of other guys in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that appealed to Kawhi, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, those two are just going to shut the hell up and work.
Yeah. And they're just, I mean, I saw Pat Bev was on The Jump the other day. They were like, what's your pitch to Kawhi? And he's like, man, look, if you want to go be Hollywood with LeBron and Anthony Davis, that's cool. But if you just want to, like, go and, you know, go to a bunch of gritty, blue-collar, lunch-pail type of guys, come play for the Clippers. You know what you're going to get out of us.
Yeah.
And I think that appeals to him.
Steve Ballmer, man.
Yeah.
Like, he sold that product well.
Yeah. And Steve Ballmer is the richest owner in sports. And if luxury tax concerns happen down the line, he's going to be like, I don't care. $100 billion? Whatever. It's like a thousandth of my net worth. Fine.
Yeah. Can I just briefly turn the focus onto us for just a quick second? Yeah. While we've been recording for an hour now, I have received so many messages about people saying I need to wake up so we can record. I love that. Because this is what is expected of us from here on out.
Yeah.
Like, guys, we don't care what you do in your private life. Right. Just if something hit breaks within a goddamn hour.
Right, just be immediately available to react. Well, this is probably a good place to sign off then, so we can get this thing out, and then so I can go stay up until some ungodly hour writing, I guess. But yeah, so we will come back in a day or two. We'll do some winners and losers of the first week of free agency.
Spoiler.
The Clippers may be in the winners column. I'm not sure. Let's see.
Maybe.
This is thankfully it for the big guys. I mean, Boogie's still out there, and that's really it. So we'll come back. Vegas Summer League started today. We didn't even talk about Zion and an earthquake.
I have not seen the Zion RJ Barrett game yet. Okay. Don't spoil it.
I won't.
I have no idea. I stayed up to watch Bulls Lakers.
Okay.
And that was it. By the way, Daniel Gafford
is
going to be really good.
I'll just say this. Knicks Pelicans has a twist ending that you will not expect. I'll leave it at that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Okay. And if someone tears his ACL, I'm going to be really mad at you.
No. Not like that.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll see.
Good.
You'll see.
Good. All right.
But yeah, so we'll be...
Oh, by the way, I need to congratulate you.
Oh, what for?
Zaire Smith.
Yeah.
Looked fantastic. I get Summer League and all that, but the way he moved...
Oh, yeah.
Like, after all that whole ordeal with him last year in terms of the injury and the nut allergy and all that, like, the way that he moved, man.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, the way he got back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so impressed. I'm just so impressed.
We'll have a lot on Summer League. We'll do, I think next episode we'll do winners and losers so far free agency, and then we'll go deep into Summer League. And then, I mean, damn, we're just going to have to do like a month of sorting through all of these new teams and doing deep dives on them. Because
hell yeah, while we juggle the World Cup as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy summer for us. So hope you guys enjoy this. We'll try to put some less scattered thoughts together in the winners and losers. But we wanted to get this
scattered. I've been up for an hour now. Come on, I'm all the way awake. I've had 4 hours of sleep. I am all there, Brian.
I'll be joining you shortly. We'll have winners and losers out probably Sunday would be my guess. In the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bios, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. It really helps us out, especially if you're enjoying a 3 a.m. podcast from us on a Saturday. Then just leave a 5-star review. You don't even have to leave a comment. Just hit 5 stars and call it a day.
Just think about Mort, who's got up to take a pee break and was coerced to recording for an hour.
Make us feel better about the sleep deprivation that we've endured this week, because it is really...
Well, I'm going to have a very natural sleep deprivation in a couple of days, I'm guessing.
True.
But yeah. I'm so going to record an episode with my new son when he comes out.
And on that note, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. Mort, what this league, man? This league.
This league. I can't wait for when Carmelo Anthony joins the Lakers, because it's going to happen.
For sure. All right.
Oh, by the way, before we leave, so Bill Simmons has an interesting tweet. I've only had a short amount of time to crunch rush trades on the trade machine, but Orlando is looking like a tasty home for him. I would love that.
Free Aaron Gordon. That's all I have to say.
Yep, that's not bad. All right, man. Talk to you on Sunday, unless something major goes down. Because hashtag this league.
Three other stars get traded, because why not?
Yeah, could happen.
All right, later, man.
Later.